You will never die if you believe in me. You will never die if you believe in me. Those of us that lived through the 80s and the 90s and the AIDS epidemic, and the number of brothers that we lost here in this church, that's a little hard to believe that you will never die, because we watched people die. Our sisters who have lost their beloveds to breast cancer, to ovarian cancer. We watch our partners die. Those of us who've had parents, aunts, uncles, siblings die. If you believe in me, you will never die. And what I want you to do is to be able to read the rest of this passage from John. And I want to know, how is it that you and I can be like Lazarus to Jesus? Why isn't it that when our brother, our sister, our partner dies, Jesus didn't come and resurrect that person for us? I struggle with that because I don't want to feel that grief and that pain. I want there to be seeds that sprout from that experience. I want my best friend back. Mary and Martha had to have been stunned. Knowing all the miracles that Jesus had done, knowing that in fact Jesus had in fact raised others from the dead, he didn't come to those who were his family of choice when they called. How many times have we been stunned when we call upon Jesus and say, Jesus, now, not tomorrow, not in a week, today. And it feels like Jesus didn't show up. If Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Am I not equal to Lazarus? Am I not so wholly beloved that Jesus isn't going to show up? I'd even take 4 days later. I'm okay with that. How many times has it not even been a week or a year later? Mary and Martha lost Lazarus. He was probably their sole financial support. Can you imagine the terror that that would have been for these two women who served and followed Jesus, but likely weren't allowed to leave the house and get a job and support themselves? They needed Jesus to show up. When we have lost ourselves in our addictions, we need Jesus to show up when we call on Jesus, in the moment that we call on Jesus. At least that's the way I respond when things are difficult, when I'm ready to just give up, when I have died inside. In the 33rd chapter of John, it talks about Jesus weeping in response to the people's grief, possibly to the loss of Lazarus. But the actual word that is translated to weeping in most translation is, Jesus was angry. But that does not fall into the picture that we have of the benign, lovable Jesus who never got cranky. The benign, lovable Jesus who was not fully human. We have to remember when we start the story of how is it that Jesus answers us when we have died inside, when someone else has died, when we've been robbed of our lover, of our partner. There were moments that Jesus also was fully human. And I don't know why he was cranky. The texts don't actually tell us what made him cranky. That's my favorite. It's just so much easier. It just explains a whole bunch of different things in there. leave? Maybe, but that just seems too easy. Because these people actually did believe. Mary and Martha did believe. Was he cranky because all of the people that had come and followed him to Bethany? Perhaps. I don't know about you, but I kind of get cranky at the drama people that follow along. You know when something bad's happened. You all been there. Have a spat with your girlfriend or your boyfriend, and all of a sudden you've got some friends going on. What did they do? Really? Can you tell me a little bit more about that? I won't tell anybody, I promise. I won't tell Alice. Did you hear? Oh my goodness. How often do we experience that? Was he cranky, afraid of what it was going to be in terms of the drama that was going to come out of this? Was he cranky because in 2 weeks he knew it was his death? And in the fully human heart of Jesus, was he just plain scared that while he had the power to resurrect Lazarus, would he himself be resurrected? I wonder about that. I think it's a reasonable assumption because we know that when Jesus is in the garden praying, he asks for it to be taken away, the responsibility to be taken away from him. I think those are human moments. Those moments when faith is just not enough to overcome great fear. I think Jesus was just angry about a whole bunch of stuff. Those of us who have died inside because of addictions, those of us who have died inside because we have lost our partners, our family members, somebody we care about, those of us who have lost a relationship, those of us who find comfort in behaviors that are detrimental to us, we get lost in that feeling of being overwhelmed. And we have to then decide, how will we find new life? Luckily for most of us that are people of faith, we have a seed in us. I don't know about you, faith is not an easy thing for me. I want a walking and talking Jesus right here. There you are, buddy. This is my buddy Jesus, for those of you that seen Dogma. I like buddy Jesus. I want buddy Jesus to walk with me everywhere I go, so that whenever I have a loss of faith, I can turn and say, buddy Jesus, remind me again. That's not how it works for most of us. For those of you that have those kind of visions, I envy you. For those of you that have that strong faith, ooh, I envy you. We are called to not only believe that there is life after death, as in this story with Martha, we know that we will be alive after the resurrection. We are called to be alive today. We are called to unbind all of those bandages that encase us while we're in the tomb. And we're called to do that within the community that we have. Lazarus didn't come out of the tomb just between Jesus and Lazarus. Lazarus came out of the tomb and cried. There was his sisters, Mary and Martha, standing right there. There was the people that had come from Jerusalem to see what Jesus was going to do. There were all the gawkers and gossipers, all the lovers and loved ones, all of them there to help unbind Lazarus. When Jesus says to you, come out of the tomb, come out of whatever binds you and ties you up. Jesus doesn't say to you, is not what Jesus says to us. Jesus says to Kimberly, call Nathan. Because Nathan will chat with you about this struggle. Jesus says, roll over on your pillow and say, Gail, I want to live. And Gail will be there. Jesus says to me, Kathy Ryder is there, and a phone call away. Jesus says, my home church, MCC Portland, will help me live. And anyone here, I promise you, this is what you can hold to truth. When Jesus says to you, come out of the tomb, turn to the person next to you right now. Look at them. Look at them. That is your Jesus, your community, who is going to pull you out of those bandages. If you have an addiction and it is killing you, this community will help you. If you're hungry, fried Spam and eggs. My mama loved, I know you guys laugh. I think you understand. My mom loved Spam. And so Spam and eggs.
Unwrap the bandages. Amen.